You're listening to Radio Orbit with Mike Hagan on KOPN 89.5 FM.
Alright everybody, it is Mike Hagan. You are listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. Alright everybody, my guest tonight is named Susan Joy Renison. Susan has spent over 25 years as an alternative free thinking individual. She has an honors degree in physics and geophysics. She is now an alternative practitioner, an independent researcher, an author, and a speaker. And she's written a book called Tuning the Diamonds, of which we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Susan is currently residing in a place called Stavanger, Norway. And she comes to us live from there early morning, I guess, 7 o'clock or so, if I'm not mistaken. And so without further ado, that's correct, we will say good morning and welcome to Radio Orbit, Susan Renison. Hi.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for joining us, Susan. I appreciate it. And I would like to say for my listeners out there who are unfamiliar with you and with the program in general, what I typically do when I start off with a new guest who hasn't been on the program before is ask a little bit about themselves. So I'd like to do that with you. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you come from, and maybe how you got involved in all this business of planetary evolution and the path that you're on.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's difficult to know where to start, really. I've always been interested in spiritual things, right from an early age. My parents sent me to Sunday school when I was 5 years old. When I got to about 15, 16, 17, I decided that I had to go on a search for truth. So I actually call myself a seeker of the truth, and it's something that's very fundamental to how I think and view the world. So I went to university. I have an honours degree in physics and geophysics. I went into business. I started off in the oil industry, but then I went into computing. I'm a very analytical thinker. I'm a problem solver, so I like project management. I went into project management. But I'm a thinker. And I like to do analysis. I like to look at different options and how to view things. So most of my life I've read books. And I'm a very unusual person because even though there is a spiritual side to me, I like to think, but I also use my intuitive abilities as well. So I've had many mystical experiences along the way, right from an early age at the same time. So
maybe you could expand on that a little bit. What do you mean mystical experiences at an early age?
I used to pray and I wouldn't call it meditate, but I had, sometimes I'd have visions or I'd see pictures and I'd have some quite profound experiences, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously with a Christian background, you do tend to get a little bit wary of these things.
You're talking to him. I'm quite familiar with the Christian baggage that is sometimes accompanying
exactly.
Some of this stuff. So.
That does colour your view of your experiences. And I got married. I had two children. I'm now divorced, by the way. What happened was I left the UK. I was in the United Kingdom. I moved to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very interesting experience, living in another culture and seeing the history. I was very interested in the history of the church, so going to Italy was fascinating. I had an opportunity to see the history that's retained there. And then after nearly 3 years, I moved to Norway. So I've been living here in Norway for about 8 years. It's very good to travel because you get a different perspective. Different cultures see different things as being very important, so that helps you to understand what your values are.
I agree, yeah.
So I continued my researching. And what happened was I came across some literature, metaphysical literature, channeling. And I had never been exposed to this before, and I started off with Jane Robertson and various things like that. And then I discovered some modern stuff, and I decided to go check it out. Now, what I decided to do was to use my intuitive abilities. I feel with this sort of stuff, you just can't use your brain. You have to use your, you know, your intuitive gifts as well. But I had to go and literally sit in the meeting with these people. And I've never been in a New Age meeting, and this is October 2001. And within less than an hour of being at this event, I had a massive mystical experience. I actually raised my kundalini, and I was literally on fire at this event, which was really bizarre for me because I didn't know anything about it. I just did these energy raising exercises, and I just burst into flames. It's a case of you can feel it. I couldn't see it, but I could just feel the flames all around me, which was just incredible. But at the same time, I was a bit shocked by this. Now, what actually happened was a month later, I was back in Stavanger, and the Shaolin monks came to Stavanger. And I don't know if you know of the Shaolin monks.
No, can you tell us a little bit about them?
Well, they do... And I think they're from China, and they do the most amazing feats. You know, it's just amazing energy thing that they do, and they work with spears and swords and all sorts of stuff. But one of the things that just completely amazed me was that one of the guys had this special thing that he did. He had a needle that's about, you know, 2.5 inches long. And what his feat was to throw this needle through a thick pane of glass. And he made 5 attempts, but when he did, the hole was the size of your finger, the small finger. So but what he did to actually do this was he raised energy from the earth exactly the same as I've done to raise my kundalini. He literally drew energy out of the earth. And that was totally amazing to me. I thought, my goodness, he's doing what I did to raise my kundalini. So at that point, I realized that there were these special energies that are not known in the mainstream. I knew nothing about these energies, but these monks knew how to use this energy to do the most amazing things. So I started to, this is at the point where I really started to research, you know, energy phenomena, the whole energy world, subtle bodies, the whole thing. That was the point where I really started to do my research. And that's when I also decided to take my steps into actually understanding these energies. So what happened was I did some training with energy work. Because of my scientific interests, I was asked to write a chapter in someone else's book.
Yeah, I read that actually on your website.
But what happened was I started to think about it and thinking all these years of reading books, I knew an awful lot of things, and I felt that maybe I could give people the benefit of my understanding of reality. So as soon as I started to research, I started to, what I call, put the pieces of the puzzle together. It was like, the way I see things is that it's like a huge jigsaw puzzle, and we all have understanding pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. What I do and the way that I think is I like to make the picture, create the big picture. And so as I continued my research, I started to see how the massive changes taking place in our planet was associated with galactic changes and changes in our solar system, and also the effect on humans. So it went from galactic solar system Earth to human. And I started to see how this is all associated with electromagnetism. This was, the more I researched and saw the big picture, the more amazed I was. But the thing that really triggered my understanding was seeing the sun and a picture of a massive burst of energy from the sun. And there's an image of a DNA spiral, of energy coming from the sun. At that point, I knew this energy was an energy of spiritual evolution. It just clicked. It just clicked that this was how energy was being delivered to Earth. And most of the energy is coming via the sun, but we're also getting energy from cosmic and galactic sources that are coming directly too, as well. So this was quite profound for me, and I just felt as soon as I'd realized what was happening and the impact and why these strange New Age people were doing energy work and were trying to work with their DNA, I just felt I had to write my book, which is what I did.
All right. Well, the book is called Tuning the Diamonds. My guest name is Susan Renison. You can find information about her on the web at Susan Renison, R-E-N-N-I-S-O-N, SusanRenison.com. Let's talk a little bit about the book, and let's start with the title. Why did you call it Tuning the Diamonds?
As an energy practitioner, I learned that there were energy diamond energy fields, and they're actually based on sacred geometry, the octahedron, which is a four-sided configuration of energy. It's like two pyramids back to back. That's an octahedron.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have them in our energy fields, and they're becoming very important at this time. They have a function of stabilizing energy and stabilizing your subtle energy fields. They're like containers for energy. In my research, I discovered that they are the perfect receiver and perfect transmitter of divine energies. So as the massive changes are taking place on this planet, evolutionary changes, our energy fields are going to, we are actually going to be knocked around by these fluctuating currents of energy. And so we need to stay as stable as possible. And these diamonds are going to help us. They're going to help us to stay stable and also to evolve. So what it's doing, they actually act as receivers. Now, in my book, I'm quite odd because I actually equate this to concepts in electrical engineering. The diamond antenna is also the perfect receiver and transmitter of energies, frequencies of light. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting to me because this is physics, which is what I'm interested in.
Right.
Okay, it's literally physics. And so what I also see the diamonds as interdimensional vortexes of light as well. So I explain this in my book. I explain where this physics comes from, but I also make it appropriate for what's happening on this planet at this time. So tuning the diamonds. There are many diamonds I talk about in my book. I talk about the fact that our galaxies even seem to line up in a sort of octahedron diamond shape. I talk about the diamonds in the Earth. I talk about the diamonds in our energy field. And then I explain where I believe this comes from. So my book is a synthesis of information because I felt that there was no other book out there that talked about what was happening on the planet, this whole concept of spiritual evolution, and many different concepts that are just very vague. People throw out buzzwords like the grid, the Earth grid. And I wanted to say for lots of people out there, this is the research that's been done on the grids.
Well,
who says what and why?
That's
so the book is a synthesis of a lot of information in one place, but in the process, I create the big picture of what's actually happening on the planet.
Mm. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the grid, because I think that is one of the fundamental parts of the research. For people who are unfamiliar or who'd like to have it clarified, let's talk a little bit about the so-called Earth grid and what it means and what we really know about it and how much of it is bunk and how much of it is science and this sort of thing.
Well, what I did in my book was that in the New Age community, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that the Earth grid has changed. And for me, I didn't quite like this because it's just a buzzword. So what I did was I actually found that the Earth actually had various grids. One of them was found by a military person, Bruce Cathy, who discovered there was a diamond grid.
Yeah, I'm familiar with his work. He's written a couple of great books. It's amazing you brought that up. I was actually talking to a guy before I came to the show tonight about Bruce Cathy and about his ideas about nuclear weaponry. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But Bruce Cathy's a really interesting guy. He's still around, and he's very difficult to get a hold of. I've actually tried to get him on the program. But at any rate, please continue. But, yeah, I'm real familiar with his work. And for people who aren't, you should check out Bruce Cathy. Very interesting.
Yeah, and he discovered that the Earth had a diamond grid, which I was very excited to discover. He worked out that UFOs were always found to be traveling in straight lines, but only on certain places on the planet. And what he did was he took a lot of different sightings and worked out that the fact that these straight lines actually made an octahedron shape superimposed on the planet. That's one grid, the magnetic grid. Okay, so when you plot these different sightings out, it creates a diamond, an octahedron shape, which is amazing. The other grid that I refer to in my book is the one that was discovered by the Russians. And basically, I don't spend a lot of time talking about this, because simply there's so much information in my book. But in 1981, there was an article written by three Russian scientists, and they identified another Earth grid, okay? Now, this is the one that I believe has been transformed. So in the New Age community, there's been channelings and information saying that the Earth grid is changing. Now, what happened with me was that I found a Russian paper that had been translated into English that actually said that the electromagnetic skeleton of the Earth was changing. But more than that, it was actually being changed by otherworldly processes. Hmm. And they were referring to these huge balls of light, plasma entities, which were literally changing the electromagnetic skeleton, the electromagnetic grid of the planet.
Hmm.
And these Russians were just beside themselves. They said, what on earth is going on? And they wrote this amazing report, planetary report. And I definitely recommend you can find it on the internet and read this report. It was published in 1998.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What I find amazing is that people haven't really picked up on this report, but they said that the grid, the electromagnetic skeleton, that's how they described it, the electromagnetic grid of the planet was changing, and it was being changed by these huge, huge plasma entities. And they said this is an inter-world process.
Okay. Yes, and if I could, I'll just mention that this is something that people familiar with my website, if you go to the front page there, you'll see. I've had this up there for a long time because I've been interested in it for a long time, and it's called The Planeto Physical State of Earth and Life.
That's the actual full name
of it, and it was primarily authored by a Russian doctor whose name is Alexei Dmitriev.
Right, and
this, he's a big time there. He was a member of the Russian Academy of Sciences, and this whole bit. And I've always thought that the Russians do great science. I've always thought the Russian scientists were great because they're not dogmatic scientists. They pretty much will take the data and go with it. They don't get caught up in belief systems. And I think that the Russians really are ahead of the game when it comes to this whole planetary evolution thing, because I thought that paper was remarkable. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that totally encouraged me was that the week that I published my book, there was a press release that came out of Russia that said the world is facing a spiritual revolution. And they felt that they were going to help lead the world. And I just was totally excited by this because I felt that I was quite on my own in my thinking. I'm not on my own, but that was a real help to me at the time.
Hmm.
And also, I do quote Russian sources because they do understand that this is a spiritual process that we're actually going through. This is very important because at the moment we have a lot of talk about global warming. That's just a side effect of this massive transformation that's taking place.
Mm.
So anyway, we were talking about grids. So there was a grid discovered by these Russians in 1981. I believe that is the grid that's been changed. There was a major, it was a major change which stopped in 2002, and since that time we've had little updates. But the latest one we've now been told is the grid is like basically being crowned now. We have a new diamond paradise grid. And in my book, I talked about a historian, an anthropologist called Joseph Jockemans, who believed that we would see a new Christ grid. Other people refer to this as the Christ grid, and it's made up of geometry, double pentacles, equally spaced across the globe. And it is interesting because this has always been prophesied. This has always been prophesied that eventually we will see a new Christ grid. So this to me is very, very exciting. Metaphysical sources saying that we now have this new grid on the planet, and it will help us to move to a place of higher consciousness for mankind. And this is tremendous because as humans we're electromagnetic beings. And we are very much as closely tied to the environment. And if you change the electromagnetic grid of the planet, you also will also affect humans. So there's a sort of reciprocal relationship between the grid of the planet and us. The Mayan elders actually are very hot on this. They talk a lot about this relationship between the grid, the Earth's core, and humans. And so I try to also explain that in my book. To me, I'm very, very excited about this whole concept of the new grid. And it's interesting, because of my Christian background, I do slightly interpret Christian thinking in a slightly different way. I see what's happening now on this planet is a delivery of Christ energies. It's the energy that's come back. And this is very interesting for me, because if you think of it in terms of the return of Christ, the return of Christ energies, and this massive changing, you know, the instability with the, you know, with the weather and the climate mm-hmm. change and the earthquakes and the floods and all this sort of stuff, this is really, really interesting.
What about...
It's really interesting to start. I'm starting to reinterpret Christian philosophy in terms of this whole massive space weather thing mm-hmm. And the changes on the planet. It's quite interesting.
You mentioned the return of this particular energy, and a lot of people, and even in the Christian conversation, people are talking about the return of Christ. So the intimation is that this is something that has been here before. I guess the question is, when was it here before? And why did it all go to hell? In other words, why does it have to? Is it ever going to happen where it happens and it sticks?
I think this is to do with galactic cycles, and we've just and this is interesting because this is where John Major Jenkins comes through. Mm. I see it as that as we move around the galactic center, we've come to a point now, and I see it like a massive wheel. Mm-hmm. And the wheel has spokes on the wheel. And we've come to a point where we've hit a massive spoke on the wheel. And at this point, we get massive deliveries of energies from the galactic center. It's energies of cleansing, evolution, of change, divine energies. That's what I see them as. Okay, so we've hit this spoke on the wheel. And we've literally, I mean, this is what the Russians say, they can literally see this energy, this delivery mechanism in space, delivering these energies to our planet. And I see that this is something that happens, and that's where you get the philosophy of the end times. The end times is the end of this cycle and the start of a new point in the cycle.
I agree.
That's what
that,
I believe.
Yeah, I agree
and
with
so
that.
So this is what's happening now. This is incredible because it's definitely, definitely happening. So we have the science and we have the metaphysics. We even have the Christian tradition that can actually help us interpret the times that we're actually living in now.
Interesting. What do you make of the solar activity? I mentioned earlier to you when we were talking off the air that, you know, I've been interested in watching the sun for a long time, and I know you are too, because that's where the great majority of the energy that gets distributed out to the rest of the solar system comes through our star. But it's been very active and changing and had some remarkable and inexplicable things happen on the surface of the sun over the last 10 to 15 years. Would you like to remark on that at all?
Well, in my book, I actually start off by, there's a quote at the beginning of my book. In fact, I'm just going to read it to you now. And it's a quote by Tom Kenyon, who is a very respected metaphysician. And he said, there is a highly catalytic energy coming from deep space which is striking the great central sun of your galaxy and the sun of your solar system. This deep space energy that is affecting both the sun and your Earth is essentially an energy of accelerating self-awareness and spiritual evolution. In 1989, we had the most massive geomagnetic storm, and it was the first time that our electrical engineers and scientists realized that, that our infrastructure, technological infrastructure on Earth, could be affected dramatically by the sun.
Right, right. It shut down the whole West Coast electrical grid in Canada and a whole bunch of stuff, I remember.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There was a just massive wipeout of certain systems. And we were just completely bombarded by this energy, and 1989 was a pivotal point. And what happened on the metaphysical side, we were told that as humanity had managed to raise their vibration, we've spiritually evolved a little bit. And in that little bit of change, we agreed to move forward. And so we were sent this energy. And so the sun has been absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, these massive, massive bursts of energy. And what I've done on my website is to just do, like, to put them together to see, you know, the sun exploding. We're getting these full halo explosions of energy. And some of them are just quite amazing. Massive, you know, billions of tons of plasma literally just exploding. The way the scientists describe it is it's like a blanket being thrown over a golf ball with the amount of energy that's coming our way.
Hmm.
And it's also pumping up the electrical capacitance of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we don't get direct hits like when you have a solar flare, it's still having an impact on the electromagnetic environment.
Right, right, right.
Well, the only way you can understand what's happening is if you understand the electric universe point of view, which is what I immediately, as soon as I realized that we lived in an electric universe, I started to see the parallels with metaphysical teaching. I started to understand how spiritual energy could be delivered to this planet and how the information we were given makes sense. It's fascinating, and since I wrote my book, I've recently discovered there's a whole new field of science being pioneered called plasma metaphysics.
All right. Well, look, I think, Susan, that's a good place to take a break, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the ideas of the electric universe and these new theories of plasma physics and this sort of thing, okay?
Great.
It's Mike, listening to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. We've got Susan Renison on the line with us from her place in Norway. We're talking about planetary evolution, among other things. The book that she's written is called Tuning the Diamonds. You can find information about Susan on the web at susanrenison.com. And we will get right back to her now and say hello.
Hi, hello. I'd like to also say at this point, there's two websites, actually. There's another one called joyfirepublishing.com.
Yes.
And that is the one that talks a lot about the background to the book. And where I have whole sections on the electromagnetic universe, the sun, space weather, Mayan philosophy, and I basically have a very nice collection of web pages that basically describes the background to my book. So I highly recommend them, especially for the images of the sun and understanding how the sun works and what's happening with the sun, because you will actually learn a lot from the visuals.
Yeah, they're amazing.
That's not something I could do in the book.
Yeah,
so,
and so if you do that, if you go to SusanRennison.com, and then right on the left hand,
picture of the book.
Yeah, it says more about tuning the diamonds. And
yeah.
Either that or the book image right there in the upper left, you can click that. That will take you over to Joyfire Publishing. And from there, there's a little menu on the left-hand side. And of course, that's exactly what Susan's talking about, Masters of the Electric Universe, the Sun, Space Weather, Solar System Transformation, etc. Let's start at the beginning of that list. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about these new ideas of plasma physics and electric solar system, electric universe ideas. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit.
Well, it was, for me, it was a massive revelation, this whole understanding that we live in an electromagnetic universe. Because in the metaphysical literature, we were being told about the cosmic web. We were being told that there was the energy that pervades the universe, that it seems to be organized. So in the physics world, there's an understanding of the background that we have, what Einstein called space-time. In the metaphysical world, people were talking about the cosmic web. There's many different ways of describing this background energy that pervades the universe. Some people call it the universal field. It's structured. But out there in space, it just goes on to a big scale. So you have this web out in space. Some people even say, J. Alfred talks about the fact that we live inside a huge brain because of the way that these connections are all connected to each other.
Right, right.
And how galaxies seem to be formed when you have these junctions of these strands of energy out there. So the whole concept of the universe being pervaded by plasma, but this plasma seems to be intelligent, it seems to have consciousness, it evolves, it's self-regulating, self-directing. And I'm seeing articles now in the mainstream press in the United Kingdom talking, what is this plasma that seems to have its own consciousness and evolves? What does that mean for us? And so you have this understanding that space is not empty. It is filled with this energy, highly electrical particles, highly electrically charged particles, thinly dispersed in space. So then you start to equate to this concept in physics of dark matter, dark energy. What? And then also in plasma physics they talk about plasma in dark mode. And then, of course, that starts to help resolve the issues they have about, you know, how the universe actually works in cosmology. It's a big subject, and what I do in my book is I take enough information from these sources to get my point across about what's happening on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There are experts out there. I highly recommend the plasma physicists. There's a book called The Electric Sky by Don Scott, Professor Don Scott. I'd highly recommend that book because he talks about plasma, the electric universe and specifically about plasma and the work of scientists that goes back 100 years.
Let's talk about how...
These are not new concepts. Mm-hmm. It's just that the importance of this is now becoming apparent. Space is not empty. It is filled with this energy. I would say it's spiritual energy.
Yeah.
And that's where it's a little bit different to other scientists.
Well, I mean, I think you can interpret it that way and still observe what we're observing. How does this connect or how does this relate to our sun? In other words, the revelation of the electric universe idea, how is it affecting us directly through our own solar system and through our own star?
Well, the sun is a huge ball of plasma. The sun itself is a plasma entity. And all the theories that we have of fusion and all that sort of stuff doesn't make sense in terms of a plasma entity. So we do have a situation now where solar physicists are basically starting to realize that they need to understand how the sun works in terms of a plasma entity. And that is really quite interesting. So what's happening is as our solar system is traveling around the galactic center, it's literally hit what I call spokes, a section of the galactic, of this part of the galaxy, where the sun is actually being hit by this delivery mechanism. Okay? So energies are travelling through what I call the electric power lines in space, and it's affecting the sun.
So we're
getting these massive bursts. Now, the sun is quite quiet at the moment because the sun has an 11-year cycle. Well, depends how you look at it, 22-year cycle, 11-year cycle, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're now predicting that the next solar cycle, when it ramps up, is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
NASA will admit it will be the biggest in 50 years.
Right.
That is as much as they will admit.
Right,
other people think it will be a lot more than that.
Yeah, I've read.
They're already predicting. They are predicting that the next solar cycle is going to be huge, and so we have to understand in terms of what our second effect is on Earth. It's going to affect our satellite infrastructure, our communications infrastructure, our pipeline infrastructure, and the power grid infrastructure. It will affect. But humans, that's where I come in. That's where I want to inform people that they have to activate these diamonds to help them stabilize. And I talk about that in my book. Maybe we can talk about that at some point.
Yeah, we'll certainly talk about the individual and what they need to be doing to sort of deal with these new situations.
Yeah, so what I in my book, I talk about the controversy about the fact of the electric universe and what that actually means in terms of the standard belief in cosmology. And also in terms of the information about the sun and how our sun works. Now we're getting reports saying, you know, that they understand that sound, geometry and magnetism is fundamental to how the sun works. That's got nothing to do with the fusion model.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, our scientists have been stumped for 70 years because the outside of the sun is hotter than the surface of the sun. The surface of the sun is 6,000 Kelvin. The outside, the corona of the sun, is 2 million degrees Kelvin, right? Basically, the theories that they've been giving out for the last 70 years cannot possibly be right. You can only understand it in terms of plasma physics. So we've had this intransigence in the scientific world, okay? But once you understand it in terms of an electric universe, and the behavior of plasma. What is so amazing about plasma is you can do experiments in the laboratory and prove this.
Mm.
And they've actually done experiments where they've been able to generate massive high temperatures with plasmas and with magnetic fields. But they won't apply it to the sun. But because of the situation now and things getting so extreme with the sun, NASA and the rest of them are having to change. They're having to change their theories because otherwise they can't make sense of our reality.
Right.
And the sun is now becoming very, very important.
All right. Let's talk about other planets in the solar system. And if we're seeing effects on the sun, then we should be seeing effects on Earth, which we think we are. But we should also see effects on other celestial bodies in the same system. So are we seeing things on other planets?
We are. Mars. There's, you can find plenty of articles about global warming on Mars and the fact that the ice caps, the caps, what do you call them, ice caps, are melting on Mars. But also on all the other planets. Some people have done a lot of work on this. Richard Hoagland has done a lot of work. And there are also a few other people that have done work on this. There have been various changes on Venus, 2,500% increase in auroral brightness and changes, global atmospheric changes, and that's just decades. We're talking 30 years. Obviously on Earth, there's massive worldwide changes, climatic changes, geophysical changes. We have a new electrojet. And in my book, I actually talk about this. And I say this is what the Mayans predicted as the return of the serpent rope.
Huh.
That is really quite interesting. So I don't know any other author that's equated the return of the arrival of this serpent rope as being the new electrojet that's now actually what I call dancing around the equator of our planet.
Is this this is an energy that's coming from?
Well, in plasma, in terms of plasma universe theories, when you have an electromagnetic body, excess electromagnetic energy will get stored around the equator as an electric current, and that's literally what we have now. So we have this excess of energy on the planet, and it's literally an electric current dancing around the equator. And I equate this to the new energy that metaphysical sources have been warning us or telling us has arrived. And this is energy that we can actually use. So this is really, really amazing. For me to see the science and realize that then in my book, I go even deeper and I say, wait a minute, the Egyptians knew about this energy and they actually have methods and ways of actually balancing, because this excess energy, you think it can either work for you or it can work against you. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
I think we'll do that. We'll do that after the top of the hour here. But before we before we go to break, let's talk. You mentioned.
Well, I'm going through the planets now. Neptune is a really interesting one because there was a recent article about Neptune, and that they realized that it seems to be showing global warming on Neptune, and that's basically now Pluto is no longer a proper planet in our solar system. Neptune is the one that's the furthest out, and yet there is a direct relationship between the changes taking place on our planet, on Earth, and the Sun, the effects of the Sun. So a lot of scientists think, wait a minute, what about all these other planets in our solar system? All of them have changed in the last 30 or 40 years, all of them. You can find a change for every single planet, and some of the changes are quite dramatic, like Mars and also Neptune. So it's interesting because I actually start off, I don't discuss much about global warming in my book. I just say that what's really happening is that we're experiencing evolution, and there's changes in all the planets, not just Earth.
I
focus on the planetary physical report of the Russians, because they see this in terms of a spiritual transformation as well.
Yeah, there's a tendency by most scientists, I think, to maintain the idea of a closed system, you know? And that, you know, the Earth is just this in a little box, and there's nothing outside of it that can affect anything that happens inside that box, except for the humans. We are in charge of everything. We do everything. And nothing else can do anything. Of course, Mother Nature can sort of show her hand every once in a while and make us feel silly, but then they go right back to it and act like they have full control of it. But it turns out that it's not a closed system, it's an open system, and there's all kinds of different things that are entering and leaving the system depending on where and when it is.
Well, also in my book, this is amazing for me, because since I wrote the book, it's been published nearly a year now, there's been much stronger evidence about the effects of cosmic rays on our atmosphere, which again is energy coming from an outside source. And so we have we've had the Great Global Warming Swindle, which is a beautiful documentary that discusses the effects of all the opposition to the concept of global warming. And we have scientists that have very strong views that the temperature effects that we are having now, or the discrepancies in the temperatures, can be caused by cosmic rays coming in and changing the cloud cover, and that also affecting temperatures. So this, I actually mentioned this very briefly in my book because I didn't want to focus on global warming. It's a huge subject in itself.
Mm-hmm.
We also have scientists called Singer, and there's another chap as well, Dennis Avery and Fred Singer, I think they're called. And they wrote a book called Global Warming Every 1500 Years. And that's also, again, about cycles. This is also about the fact that the temperatures on the planet do change. They vary in terms of cycles. So it's very, very interesting. On my website, I document some of the changes, and I provide links. Because at the end, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. I want to link to these scientists with opposing views. Now, but they're also, if you go through the literature, there's many scientists that are highly skeptical that CO2 is the cause of global warming. But you will also find, if you go to my website, that they're saying that space weather is directly affecting our climate. And you have NASA actually measuring massive electric fields over the top of the biggest, most severe hurricanes. And you're now starting to see how the electromagnetic environment of the Earth is what's really driving the Earth's climate. They're now starting to see that lightning activity is strongly associated with hurricanes. So this is very, very interesting. This is a totally different understanding of what's driving our weather and our climate.
Yeah, there's another big hurricane brewing in the Pacific, I think. Actually, a couple of them right
Phoenix.
Now. Yeah.
And that's a really big one. I mean, we have a lot of alignments going on at the moment, astronomical alignments, and also events taking place. We have these meteorites, auguries, I think they're called, and we've just had so many different unusual astronomical events going on. In a very short period of time, we have two lunar eclipses going on at the same, you know, within a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really affecting what's happening. The planet's going crazy.
When's the next lunar eclipse? I know we had one just a week ago.
Yeah, that's right. We have two quite close together. So, there was a story about the sea was so churned up in Australia. Did you see that story about the cappuccino toast?
No.
The water turned to froth, foam,
wow.
And there was foam for 30 miles out to sea. And this shows you pictures of people covered in this foam on the beach. It was just incredible pictures. And it's just like this is freak weather conditions.
Hmm.
You know, where the sea was so churned up
by
cyclonic conditions.
Amazing.
But it created this foam, and it was just 30 miles out to sea, foam. It's incredible. There's such amazing things happening on this planet now, and the conditions, the electromagnetic imbalance on the planet is immense now. Because this is part of the change. What I want to say is that this space weather is delivering new energy, new information. The morphogenetic fields that control all life on this planet, and we could go into discussion about morphogenetic fields, but they are being upgraded at the moment. The term that I've seen used is rebooted. It's been reprogrammed, and so now we're going to start seeing some very strange things on the planet. I also pay attention to what the crop circles are telling us. And there was one amazing one this summer, which was which I called the Alice in Wonderland crop circle.
Why do you call it?
Because the picture was identical to a picture that's in that was used as an illustration for the book, and it's a picture of Alice, and she's in a corridor with there's various doors on either side of the corridor, and there's a door at the end, and this crop circle was a perfect match to this illustration that was done for the book, Alice in Wonderland. And the interpretation of that is that we are going to be going into a new reality that's going to be so strange to us, it's almost going to be like Alice in Wonderland. And we've started to get these very strange things happening on the planet. And we had a beautiful example of this week, where we had this massive spider's web in Texas. Did you hear that story?
I did. I read it. Yeah, somebody put it up on my forum. Yeah.
The spiders all got together and decided to build this massive web that was 200 yards wide on the trail. Incredible.
Yeah. I've seen all kinds of wild stories in the last week. You know, the mainstream news was reporting a story of the chupacabra being discovered in Texas or something. You know, something that most people would never, ever hear on MSNBC or whatever, you know?
I think it's going to get really strange.
Oh, I think, hang on, Hannah, you're going to see stuff that people aren't going to believe. Yeah.
Well, this is why you can compare it to the Christian philosophy, because they also talk about the fact we're going to see signs and wonders. I see it scientifically. I see it that in this delivery of this space weather and this cosmic rays are literally reprogramming these multidimensional fields control all species on life. And I refer to the work of Rupert Sheldrake and his understanding that all species and humans have their own individual sources of information that direct basically how we function and actually affect our DNA. That is being changed. And in the process, we're going to start seeing some really odd things, really strange things. And it's going to be like being, like, we're going to feel like we're Alice in Wonderland. That's how it's going to be.
All right, Susan, that's another good place to take a break, okay? Anyway, back to Susan Renison. On the web, SusanRenison.com. And, Susan, before we get any further, I have a question that just came up for that I think probably other people have as well. A person asks, how can we obtain a copy of your book here in the United States? So far, they say they've only noticed they can get it from the UK. Is it available here?
Yes. Well, there's a US distributor, and the website is velocityoflove.com. And on the Tune of the Diamonds, on joyfiredpublishing.com, there is a flashing data, a text. And if you click on that, it will take you to where you can find Tune and Diamonds, the distributors. So I have a nice little system there where you can find, you know, if you're in Europe, if you're in America, if you're in the UK, wherever you can find a distributor. But in the US, the distributor, I think the website is velocityoflove.com, and you can find, you'll get a copy of the book at that point. But if you send me an email, I will just send you the link anyway.
Okay.
So, If people contact me, then I will provide the link for a U.S. distributor or wherever you are in the world.
All right. Sounds good. And Susan is easily available and contacted through her website there at SusanRenison.com and also at Joyfire Publishing. So, okay, let's continue our conversation. I think it's about time we start talking about individual actions and how these things are affecting us personally and what we might be doing to help ourselves and help others. Let's talk a little bit about the personal, practical side of this whole thing. And in fact, you seem to think that there's actually a necessary component that we actually need to figure this stuff out for our own well-being.
I do think that, actually. I'm seeing lots of channelings out there, and what I'm doing is literally just taking it through the database of information that's in my head. I'm not the sort of person that sees everything as rosy, everything is going to be wonderful. I see it very practically, and I don't sort of try to whitewash anything, that's what I'm trying to say. With this energy that's been delivered to the planet, there is an excess current, and it's literally being stored around the equator of the Earth, and that's the new equatorial electrojet.
Is that something that's being reported anywhere?
Yes, it is, but it's only in the scientific world.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's so amazing. I've had to do some serious research to find this information, and I've had to work very, very hard to interpret what our scientists are talking about amongst themselves, but it's not going into the mainstream press.
Right.
Right? So this, after the 1989... massive geomagnetic storm.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we had this new electrojet. Now, there's ones around the poles that have been there forever, but there's basically the excess energy became a new electrojet, and it's of concern to our satellite infrastructure people because it affects the quality of the satellite. So that's why they started to get very concerned, and they've been sending rockets up there to investigate it and all the rest of it. So that, I believe, is the serpent boat that the main elders predicted. And what it's doing is it's erratic. It sort of moves, and every now and again it reverses its action and it goes in the opposite direction around the planet.
Hmm.
That is pumping up the frequencies of light that we use to balance our brain. It's literally... It's increasing the intensity of the Schumann waves. We have a lot of New Age people saying, yes, that the Schumann waves are increasing in frequency. I dispute that. What is being happened, they are slightly changing and they are slightly higher. However, the main effect is that they're much stronger signals now.
Hmm.
And it's being caused by this electrojet. that's pumping up, that's the way I describe it, these frequencies of light. Now, in terms of humans, what that means is that the signals that you would respond to and that help to balance you, balance your brain, are coming much stronger. But we're also emotional beings. And this is also affecting our emotions as well. So whereas if you're stable, these energies will actually make you more stable. If you are unstable for any reason, or emotionally unstable for any reason, you will fly off much quicker. You will go from a state of being stable to unstable much faster in this environment. And so you are now seeing a lot of what I call imbalance in people. They're being affected by the environment. And it's because the people need to understand what's happening and what they can do. And I see this as very much carrot and stick. I see it as part of the evolutionary process. We are being encouraged, let's say, to evolve spiritually, deal with our stuff, and to move forward and become empowered. But however, if you won't do that, then you will be dramatically affected by the conditions on this planet.
So it's
that's
sort of
why
like you
people
can't,
need. Sorry?
You can't sort of opt out. It's
no.
It's going to get you one way or another. It's a matter of how you end up dealing with all this new energy.
This is a planetary upgrade. Everything on the planet. The way the Russians describe it is that every single living thing on this planet is going to be getting a quality control inspection to see whether they can comply with the new conditions. This is serious. Everything is being affected. Everything.
You know,
and we are being encouraged to move forward and to evolve, spiritually evolve.
You know, Susan, I'm the director of quality control at a little manufacturing company here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very familiar with these concepts, and that's a great metaphor to use for what might possibly be coming down the pike here.
Yeah, it's really amazed me when I read this in that Planetary Physical Report. That's what they say. Hmm. Quality control inspection.
That's great. Oh, man. But,
oh, my God. So this is what's happening now. People are freaking out. And it's because we need to deal with our emotional problems. In my book, I talk about how the emotions are related to our electromagnetic field. And all this. People have been starting to do this. They've started to deal with their problems, things in their past, their karmic stuff and all this. But it's important because of the times that we're living in now. Very, very important.
Let me ask you a question. You've mentioned the Maya a couple times, and we've skirted around it a little bit. And we also have this idea of the alignment of the Earth or the solar system with the central mass of the galaxy. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and whether they're, you know, the relationship between them, and is this just a marker in time that the Maya were pointing out, or is it actually a physical event that you think, I don't know, maybe you could give your position on the whole 2012 business.
Yeah, it's definitely a physical event. We are directly lining up with the center of our galaxy. And I do refer to the work of John Major Jenkins in my book. There's about one page that I dedicate to this understanding, maybe one, two pages, but I dedicate to this understanding of the fact that this is an electromagnetic entrainment that's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we're directly lining up bullseye to planet Earth, and that in doing so, we are getting hit with this stream of energy. We're going to be getting waves upon waves of energy. And I believe that this is the prophesied new golden age that we've been told about. The main elders predicted that we would, the new age would be dominated by space or the ether. And I equated this to the whole concept of space weather. Remember, this is brand new. This concept of space weather is a brand new concept that our scientists have made up to explain this massive bombardment of cosmic rays, solar energy, galactic energy that we're getting on this planet now.
Right.
So this is incredible. Once I discovered this concept of this space weather, and then I married it up with the Mayan philosophy, all of a sudden it started to make sense. My book is the big picture And what I've done is that there's many people that have got pieces of the puzzle. What I try to do is to give an overview of what's really happening on this planet now. So we've got this, I have tremendous respect for the main elders. What I've done, though, is that they talked about balance, but I don't feel that it was sort of, people could really understand what they meant. They kept talking about we have to make the balance on this planet. The metaphysical community should have understood this more, but I'm not sure how many people were really paying attention to this. So since 1989, you've had new energy on the planet. Some people realized and started to take this energy and use it to develop themselves spiritually, to become more balanced. Okay? Now we've come to the point where it's now, as part of our evolution, there's going to be a first wave of people that change. And I'm beginning to wonder if this is even going to be a physical transformation. Okay? So
do you think that if we do start to see changes in people, whether they're physical or otherwise, do you think that it will be apparent in the way that they are, in other words, the skills that they will they be able to do things that other people can't do, or will they just be smarter, or will it be apparent?
Well, we've already got these children. I'm not a great advocate of these indigo children and these little crystal children
and
all these.
I have ideas.
I see it as a cop-out, quite frankly. Mm. Oh, look at the children, aren't they wonderful?
Right.
They can do all these things, which means we don't have to do it.
Right.
I'm a little bit, I actually think we've been misled there, because I've come across research that says that the average intelligence on this planet has been increasing over the last few decades. And some people see that this is also associated with galactic cycles.
Hmm.
The average intelligence on the whole planet is increasing. And it's actually called the Flynn effect.
Huh.
So I'm a little bit skeptical about just pointing out these brilliant children,
mm-hmm.
because the whole average is increasing as well.
Right, okay.
So it's, and that's why you can start talking the conspiracy theories at this point. Anyway, we won't go there.
Right. Well,
so anyway, in terms of the massive changes taking place on this planet and the effect on humans, I actually want to change the subject a little bit, because we're also seeing this spiritual energy in terms of the orbs.
Mm.
You know, people are taking pictures, digital pictures, and all sorts of stuff is appearing in their pictures.
Yeah,
and this is all part of this change. I actually see that the background ether is changing. And in the metaphysical world, they talk about the veil thinning.
Mm.
So we're starting to see this spectrum of entities out there, especially the orbs.
What do you make of this whole orb business? And for the people who've never heard about it before, tell them what it is a little bit.
Well, I actually believe it's divine energy, spiritual energy, because you've seen a lot of orbs where there's spiritual gatherings. There's even, on my blog, I link to, I think it's just like a local website, a news website, where they went into a church. And people have been reporting for months that they're taking pictures and they're seeing all these orbs. And so this camera crew went in there, and they even picked up pictures of these orbs too. So there's actually been the first orb conference, I think it was in Sedona, was in May this year. And in the UK, there's been stories, even in the mainstream, about this orb phenomena.
Huh.
Okay? So I was just utterly amazed, because it even looks like there was a guy, a professor, who's connected to the Vatican, and he's actually on an international theological commission, who has a collection of 100,000 pictures of these orbs. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know many people that have a private collection of 100,000 of anything. So I see this as being a Vatican collection.
Mm.
So they've obviously got an issue, because they've got to explain to their flock what on earth is happening.
Yeah, that's going to become more and more difficult for them, I am afraid.
Yeah. this is spiritual energy, and we all have this energy around us helping us. Okay?
Yeah.
And if people get frightened, you know what I say to them? We don't have a problem teaching our children about fairies. Have you watched Shrek?
Yeah.
You have the first Shrek 1 and 2, you have the fairies and the balls of light.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, and I've read so many books, it's really difficult for me to pinpoint this, but originally the fairies were huge things, and they were downgraded by the church. Now they've got a problem because they're going to have to upgrade them back again.
Yeah, the creatures of the wood, they haven't really gone they haven't gone away. It's just we sort of pushed them out of our consciousness, but they're still there all the same, I think.
So I see this, and I have a very positive view about this. In my book, I try to explain it scientifically. I try to explain what this plasma energy is, and this concept of them being magnetic entities. I tried to give a scientific theory as to why we would have this relationship with this spiritual energy, this plasma energy.
Is this what you think? Is this what you think that the orbs are? Some sort of a plasma effect?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
In my book, I point out the existence of a previously top secret government report, a British military report investigating plasmas. When they finished, they tried to hide it for 5 years, but the UFO people were very intrigued. And so they used the, there's also an app where you can actually request that the government release information, Freedom of Information Act in the UK.
Sure.
So this is a very interesting report. It's a huge report. I think it's like over 300 pages. It could even be 400 pages. It's a huge report. And basically, at the end of this report, they basically said, yes, there's a plasma phenomena, no threat. No threat. It's just, it's part of the universe. This is a natural energy. You know, plasma takes up something like 99.999% of the universe.
Right.
It's just part of the consciousness. Everything in our universe has consciousness. There's nothing dead in the universe. And this energy can self-organize into different structures. So it can create these power lines in space. And through the power lines, you can actually get plasma traveling along these power lines as orbs as well. And the orbs are huge or they're small. And you can have this on a sort of galactic level. You can have this on a cosmic level, whatever, on different levels. And it also... Then you have it on a tiny, macroscopic, distorted, multidimensional level. This is totally fascinating for physicists, and you can also use current theories to actually explain this. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I, at this point in my book, I tried a little bit to talk about this, but not too much because it was distracting from the rest of the book. But yes, quantum loop theories, yes, you can start to equate what this is using standard physics theories.
All right. DNA and our actual physical makeup, we know that cosmic rays are responsible for evolutionary changes in the past. This is going to pick up, and do you think we'll be able to actually identify changes in our own or others' DNA?
Well, what I've done is that since my book was published, we've had more and more reports come through that various different species on this planet seem to be accelerating their evolution, and that changes are taking place in DNA within decades. They used to say that things took hundreds of thousands of years. No, it doesn't.
Right.
We're having this delivery of energy, and it's highly catalytic. Catalytic means that it makes things happen much quicker. It speeds things up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having this. So they will admit to the animals, plants, and butterflies and things changing quickly. They seem to have a reticence talking about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Seems to
be
a block
there.
That we are changing. I believe that humans are changing.
Oh, I believe it too. I believe it too. And I talk to lots of different people, you know, from lots of different perspectives, and you know, you're certainly not alone in the idea of great change on the horizon. I think, you know, we're all trying to parse out what exactly is happening and how it's happening. And this is one of the things that you're adding to the conversation, you know. But I think that, argument aside, very, very few people will say that, that there isn't something going on.
Oh, it's, I mean, I think it's becoming very obvious that something huge is taking place. And, you know, I think the thing with global warming and blaming humans is it's just a cop-out. It's just to focus humans on just, and it's about a control thing. It's, you know, I don't think the carbon stuff is just about making money. It's just getting people to focus on themselves. They don't want to see a human as a sort of a galactic human, a cosmic human, aware of their place in the cosmos. But it's happening anyway. It's happening anyway. So, yes, some of the metaphysical stuff that I'm reading, I'm trying to interpret scientifically. The massive blasts of energy that are coming our way now is going to affect our atmosphere, and there's going to be a lot more ultraviolet light coming out, coming through. That will affect our DNA. That will reprogram our DNA. What I'm saying to people with the diamonds is the idea is that you want energies to help you and to benefit you.
Right.
And the diamonds act as a sort of a filter. They will encourage the frequencies of light that will support you, and they will deflect the frequencies of light that won't help you. And in my book, I do the science. My book is not an easy read. I didn't do it to tickle people, because quite frankly there's plenty of other stuff out there that you can read, but if you want entertainment, a book is to explain these massive transformations on the planet, what's happening and how it can affect you. And I've tried to find theories that give us a greater understanding. And I believe that it's very rare for one person to be given information and it's not to go to anybody else. So there's a vast resources out there, and basically I had to do a lot of work pulling together this information. And so I talk about our multidimensional reality and why geometry is so important. Now, we have esoteric societies that have known this stuff forever, information that came from the Egyptians and before that.
Is this?
And we have various different societies with this hidden information. It's now coming out because we need to understand this. We need to understand what this geometry is about.
Is this a reference to so-called sacred geometry?
Sacred geometry, that's right. In my book, I talk about the diamonds. The diamond seems to be everywhere. You know, the actual shape seems to impact and influence cosmic evolution even. It's amazing. There's something special about the octahedron. And so right at the end of my book, I talk about the Great Pyramid, because that is only half of octahedron. But I actually explain that I believe that it had a function for balancing this planet. I've actually, we know this, other authors talked about the fact that it seemed to be streaming in cosmic energies. And I believe it had a function to balance this planet. There's evidence, if you read the book, the work of Chris Dunn, there seems to be evidence. Pyramid in Greek means fire in the middle. I believe there was evidence that the pyramid, when it's fully operational, because it was intended as a machine, when it was fully operational, it created an etheric double. And it turned into an octahedron.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right?
You know, I've interviewed Chris Dunn. I think he's remarkable. And his book, Giza Power Plant, was one of the best explanations that I've ever heard, frankly, about what's going on there on the Giza Plateau.
Right, okay. It was designed as a machine. And the machine, I believe, is designed to balance the planet. Okay. And this is the whole concept of these diamonds, is that they balance forces. They balance the cosmic forces with earth forces. And this knowledge goes back to the Egyptians and before that. Now the Russians have started to build massive pyramids. They've been building them for about 18 years now or something. $1 million pyramids, huge ones, to help balance the forces on this planet. Right? So this concept, there was even a story this week about the Germans. They want a pyramid too. This is really, really interesting what's happening on this planet.
When you talk about the pyramid that the Russians are building, do you mean, give me an idea of scale? I mean, obviously...
140 foot high pyramid, huge ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're planning a 288 foot one. So, I mean, the bigger they are, the more impact they have. And then what the Russians did was they did experiments where they put things inside the pyramids, like they put salt and pepper and rocks and crystals and things like that. And then they did experiments to see what the impact would be on people. They actually fed to prisoners salt and pepper that had been kept inside a pyramid for a period of time. And they noted that the behavior of the prisoners changed. They became less violent and they became more evolved. They became calmer and more balanced and everything.
Huh.
The Russians got so excited with these experiments, they even took some rocks that had been held in these pyramids and took them up to the International Space Station.
Huh.
And I'm like, this is old news, this is not new, but people don't know it. And the reason they need to understand what these pyramid energies do, they seem to create a balance. Once you have a balance of energies, then it allows for evolution.
Hmm.
So that they also affected the ozone there. They actually felt that there was energies coming off the top of these pyramids that were actually repairing the ozone layer as well. That's what they felt.
Amazing.
So they seemed to... They also noted that some of the pyramids, the crops around the pyramids actually dramatically increased their production. So they seemed to have environmental effects. They also... Things like earthquakes, they noted that when you have these big pyramids, that they seem to regulate the pyramid. So instead of one big earthquake, you have lots of little tremors. So they seem to sort of help there as well. So I find this interesting, and the reason for that is because it's the shape. It's that particular shape seems to work with subtle energies. It seems to compel them into a state of balance, and that's what we're looking for. Especially as things get really hectic on the planet. Now, I want to talk about change. If you have an energetic system, and it's stable, you can't change it. What you have to do is to bring that system down into a state of chaos and then push it into a new direction.
Mm.
And that's exactly what's happening on this planet now. The energies are coming and it's creating this chaos. But there's a purpose to the chaos. That's why I'm not really into all this doom and gloom stuff. That's why I talk about evolutionary change.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a necessary part of the process. Now, what I found recently is our scientists say, look, if you have a complex energetic system and you try to change it, you better do it quick. If you don't do it quick, it will fail. So these changes are going to be relatively quick in geological time,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise it will fail. And that's what our scientists are telling us. I'm going, I love it. I love it when these scientists explain to me what's going on the planet. The Earth is a complex energetic system, and the changes to maintain the stability, okay, it will seem like it's chaotic, but it will only be for a very short time, and then the result will be a new Earth. That's what we're being promised, and that's what we're going through now. So also, the last fortnight or so, and there was also another report about evolutionary changes, and they said that if you have many different goals, and evolutionary goals, it seems to speed up the process. The more complex, the more evolutionary goals, the quicker the process has to be. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. That's why evolutionary biologists are just beside themselves, because they're seeing things happening so quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, Susan, we're going to have to take another quick break here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll come back and we'll have one more segment here to finish things up, okay?
Great, okay.
It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. About 21 minutes before the 2 a.m. hour in the United States, that is. Of course, it's closing in on 9 o'clock in the morning in Northern Europe and Norway, where my guest is situated right now. Isn't that right, Susan?
That's correct.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm so glad that we got to do it on sort of a reasonable hour, at least. Wasn't in the middle of the night, at least, and maybe a little bit early, but not too bad.
Not too bad at all, yeah.
Well, okay, let's continue where we left off. A lot of people, of course, are interested in sort of been, you know, working towards this all night, but for individuals and people in the middle of what we think is happening, not necessarily about to happen. I mean, we're in the middle of this stuff now. It may increase, certainly, but people are, you know, looking for good ideas on how to better situate themselves for the future. Maybe you could give a little bit of what your own advice might be.
Well, for me, I see this as a massive spiritual transformation, and I'm very much paying attention. I'm dedicated to paying attention to the messages that we are being given and paying attention to the times. Now, I'm, as a practitioner, energy practitioner, I'm actually activating people's energy fields and to working with these diamond energy fields. And also, as part of the evolutionary process, you have a template around you. You have an energy field around you. From the moment you were born, before you're born, the moment of conception, there is an electromagnetic field that forms around the fetus. And that is like an organizing field. It controls everything about you. It holds all your information. It also holds your karmic stuff as well. So what I've been doing is I've been working with this field. It's evolving at this time. You will always get a change in the electromagnetic field before it manifests in the physical. And so this equates to previous teachings about people's subtle bodies and things like that. But there is a new field forming around humans. So I've been working with that and with these diamonds. The most important thing is that there are various meditations that you can use to trigger these diamonds and also to stabilize your core energy. So directly down the center of your body, there is a core of energy, and it's got various different names. But what it does is it helps to allow cosmic and earth energies to flow through you. You are basically an electrical circuit, and that is the sort of primary circuit that you have. So the idea is to encourage people to allow this flow of energy to move up and down inside them in a balanced way. I actually talk about the Egyptians. They understood this, and they actually worked to help maintain a balance in the body, and that's one of the reasons why I believe they lived a long time.
Susan, let me ask you a question with regard to the diamonds. There's been some reports that I've actually seen in some scientific publications that talk about the pineal gland or the pineal gland and the fact that there may be some sort of crystalline structure inside the pineal gland. And the pineal gland, I think, is important in lots of different mystical traditions and all this stuff. Maybe you could talk about that if you think it's relevant.
I mentioned in the book, because I talk about diamonds everywhere, you actually have magnetite, which are basically little octahedron type crystals, actually in the brain near the pineal gland, and they actually help, I believe, to attract certain frequencies of light as part of our sort of our consciousness and part of our spiritual development. The most sort of spiritual energies are attracted to this part in the brain. So, to me, it's really quite fascinating. I talk about this a little bit in my book, because obviously I cover a lot of many different subjects. So, yes, and in fact, it's actually quite interesting, because I've also highlighted on my blog that when you have people in a certain, in a sort of coma state, when they're basically in a very sort of low state of consciousness, they've had some kind of illness, and they're not quite in a coma, but they're in a semi-coma. If you stimulate the thalamus area with the electromagnetic energies, it will actually help them to recover their proper consciousness. So this is very interesting. You should mention that. Yes, magnetite, it's little crystals. They're actually in the brain, in the pineal area, and just outside that area. And yes, they do attract certain frequencies of light. We're basically light beings, and we basically attract energies we attract energies, and we also give off energies as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of this sort of a soup of energy almost.
Right.
Right. It's just that we think we're physical and that we finish as it's our skin, but in fact that's not correct. We actually have an energy field around us. That's changing, that's evolving. I'm telling people it's a very good idea, especially if you're interested in your spiritual evolution, to protect your energy fields at this time. Now, the reason I say that is because we've been warned, and I didn't realize this when I finished my book. I knew that we would be getting energies coming space weather, and that would be helping to knock people around. The fluctuating fields will affect you as an electromagnetic person, electromagnetic body.
Uh-huh.
But also, I believe we've moved to a new stage in the planetary evolution, and literally old energies are leaving the Earth. They're going back to the Galactic Center for recycling. And I use this really strange language, but to me that's how I use it. I use everyday language as much as I can. So what's happening, when we had the Peru earthquake, there was this phenomena of these quake lights, literally massive bursts of white light coming out of the ground. You can go onto the internet.
There's people
that were, I don't know whether it was mobile phone images or security cameras, but there was this phenomena of this white light, quake light, coming out of the ground. We've been told that that energy is very harmful to humans, and that it's not just it's not a local phenomena. This energy will spread around the Earth because it's light. So we have to protect ourselves from this low-frequency emissions. That's the scientific name for them, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So I see this is that with the massive change, there is chaos. And that is part of the process. So what we have to do is protect ourselves. We need to turn on these diamonds in our energy field. They're there. They've always been there. We just need to trigger them. And in that process, that will help to protect us. Now, some people have got this down to a fine art. There are practitioners working with these diamonds who understand what to do and how to do it. This is ancient knowledge. It's been knowledge that's been known for a very long time and has been hidden. All right? This, I call this sacred geometry. There's nothing evil or nasty about it. It's just knowledge is power. And some people wish to maintain as much power as possible. So we're moving to a stage now where this knowledge has to go through into the mainstream as part of our evolution. We need to start to empower each other, not keep putting each other down, which is just being the norm on this planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a science behind this. There's an understanding behind this. I'm working with these energy fields. The diamonds are very important. You could actually imagine yourself inside a pyramid. Two pyramids, and the two pyramids are back to back, which create the octahedron, or a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this
mm-hmm.
is complex actually thinking. It's four sided. Now, there's some debate now. Some people imagine the diamond, the center, being at their waist. You can actually lower that. You basically just imagine yourself inside a diamond.
Mm.
And when you do this, it will actually compel the subtle energies to actually move into a state of balance. Okay, so if you imagine that the apex of this octahedron, that is where your core energy comes out. And it will actually encourage your subtle energies to come into a state of balance. What you're doing is you're imagining this is that you are creating, you're actually triggering this energy field that you have around you. It's always been there. This is an energy field that has always been. All humans have this. And I see this diamond as like a interdimensional energy that we all have. Alright? So I see this, I'm just working with people now to help trigger as many diamonds as possible.
Do you think that whatever's happening on the planet requires any particular participation from human beings? Or do you think that whatever's happening is going to happen one way or the other, and you know, we're sort of along for the ride, and those of us who can sort of make it through the narrow neck will indeed do that, make it to the next part of the plan or the next section of the game or whatever? Or do you think that it's sort of not like that?
I see that the terms and conditions of living on this planet have changed, and that it's up to us whether we wish to comply or not. That's how I see it, and it's quite a tough stance that I have on this. So I see that there's people who are willing to evolve and to move forward. Some people have already worked this out, and they've been given permission for their DNA to change and to move forward with the changes. Other people, maybe they don't understand these things, but they have a low state of consciousness and they don't wish to evolve. There is some debate about what's happening here as to the people, the naysayers, let's say.
How do you... I'm sorry, but this is sort of related. How do you eventually see the levers of power being or changing hands? In other words, obviously something is going to have to happen to remove power from the people who are currently in power, and not just in the States, anywhere, you know, all around the world, in other words.
The way I see it is that we've been told is that they're very powerful, but I see it is that the change has taken place on the planet and will be affecting everybody. You know, it's like when there's a dark room and you put light in there, even if it's just a candle, it changes the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that they will change. They have to. It's part of the process. The question you have is the resistance to change.
Right.
And there's different viewpoints. Because basically, what I've been looking at is the science associated with this evolutionary change, and I've been stunned to find that some evolutionary biologists believe that there will be a split of humanity. They believe that it's possible for humanity to split. I actually think we have been given messages that this will occur. So I feel that the idea is to protect your energy fields, protect your consciousness, evolve and move forward. Those that don't, there will be a parting of the ways, sorting out from the wheat of the wheat from the chaff. This is also very biblical, actually. And so it's interesting because we've had crop circle messages saying the same thing. So when you have the scientists saying this, and you get metaphysical sources saying this, I take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us. Do we want to move forward? If you're going to stay on this planet, and the idea with this planet is, if you die, you're going to come back anyway. And I believe in reincarnation, and we have scientific proof that somehow the spirit seems to live on. You can actually, scientists have actually recorded that on the moment of death, a massive pulse of light leaves the body. So that stays. That doesn't die. You will come back because this earth is a school that we're here to learn lessons. But the school is changing. And it's interesting because we're being told that the school is now going to become a paradise. It might take a while for it to happen, but there is massive changes afoot. The people who have been running things, running the show at the moment, I believe there's been a tremendous amount of panic because they only know how to play the game one way.
I feel that too.
And so I feel that what's happening now is the rules are changing, and it's not going to be as easy to play the game the way they used to play it. Let's put it like that.
Well, I think that's a wonderful place to sort of wrap it up, Susan. It's been couple hours already. The time always goes so much faster than I think it will.
Yeah.
Fantastic, though. Thank you so much for spending time with us this morning and for being on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you. We'll give the website out one more time. It's Susan Renison, SusanRenison.com, and Joyfire Publishing is the sort of related website there. And anything else? Would you like to give out an email address or something like that, Susan, before you go?
You can contact me at info@joyfirepublishing.com, or you can use susan@susanrenison.com.
Okay, no problem. And we will have this program up in the archives, like I say, in the next 24 hours or so, and we'll get it out there and share it with some other people, okay?
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Take care of yourself. Okay, Susan?
Thank you. Thank you.